Okay, Baruch Hashem, everybody's busy now in preparing for Pesach, and whoever's welcome on here. It's also being recorded to put on the website, albezgimel.com. And what we're going to try to do tonight, as the topic was posted, we're going to try to take and understand how we learn Betochen and Memunah from the Haggadah for ourselves. And for our children, the whole union of the Seder, let's stay focused. The whole union of the Sakhar Lavincha is the whole union from Chinuch. The whole union of Chinuch is for yourself and for your children. That to mechanach kids is mamish on the Yom Tov Pesach. It's a mitzvah essay to teach our children the story of Pesach. And the story of Pesach is the foundation of everything that comes afterwards. On Pesach, we became the nation, the Hashem's nation. On Pesach, we were taken out of Mitzrayim for a purpose to go to Har Sinai. So let's start to go into the through the Haggadah. I'd like to go through the Haggadah because the Haggadah is set up in a way that we can be mechanech ourselves in a very organized way. And it starts out with a Seder plate. The Seder plate has all the six items on there. We put on the three matzahs. Let's talk about matzahs, and then we have all the six inyanim. On top of the matzahs, we put on the Zreya, for the remembering the Korban Pesach, and the Beitzah for the remembering of the Korban Chagiga. Then you have the Morer to remember the Morer in Mitzrayim, and the Charesis, what we're using over there, the Kapras for the Salzwasser. And it's but it's interesting. It's at the end of Haggadah, it says that whoever didn't say Pesach, Matzah, Morer didn't was not Yetzer the whole Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim. What's so special about Pesach, Matzah, Morer? So it's explained that in words, Pesach, Matzah, Morer is describes everything we have to do. How we got the freedom? How did we get the freedom? So many parts in this Seder night. And I'm going to try to do this in the next 45 minutes, an hour, whoever can stay on. That how to get the feeling of cheder, how to get for chinuch, chamun, betach. All these things are right here in the three words: Pesach, Matzah, Morer. Morer. Pesach is the mitzvah say. To eat matzah is a mitzvah say even today in the time of Golus. It's a mitzvah say to eat matzah. The mitzvah of Morer today, because we don't have a Korban Pesach, Morer is on the Rabbanu. We eat Morer, because Chacham want us to eat Morer to remember the Morer we ate when we had the Korban Pesach. And then Pesach itself is a jumping over the ability to do more than the mitzvahs, Aseh mitzvahs, and the Rabbanu. So here we have it. Well, and if it's actually the end of the Seder, whoever doesn't say the three words, whoever does say three words of Pesach, Matzah, and Morer, was not Yetzer, the whole infamous Seder, the one we didn't say. It's time to say it. On a deeper level, it means very poshut. It means that if you go through the whole Seder, what's our goal? What are we trying to get to? We're trying to get to understanding the awesome power that is in Matzah of Mitzvah, I say Matzah, the awesome power that's in Matzah of keeping a Mitzvah that Rabbanu, not to say it's the Rabbanu, still cooler, Chas V'Shalom, and even to then get to Pesach, to do more, to jump over the limitations. That's the whole purpose of the Seder. That's the whole purpose of the Seder. So what's Chag HaMatzis? Matzah is a mitzvah, I say, and it's also called Michal de Memnusa, the food of faith. Eating matzah very simply. A whole year we're learning heal the heart with the Emunah B'Tochen, how to heal our emotions through Emunah B'Tochen. And here we have the night of Pesach, the amazing Koyach. By eating matzah, it's called Michal de Memnusa, meaning that it's a food of faith. By eating matzah itself, that gives us the emunah that we have, the strength, strengthens our emunah in Hashem, and brings out the koyach that we need to have the emunah whole year round. So let's talk about emunah right away. Let's start with emunah. Goyim also have a chassidim misa'ilam. Those goyim that want to recognize as a creator also have emunah. So what's the difference between emunah between the goy and the yid? It's actually in a small room, and I was in a place called prison. I used to listen to them. They put me in a very high security place, and I got obviously I was able to hear a lot of conversations between very rough non-Jewish people, And it dawned upon me that sometimes when these people aren't, they say words at least, whether they believe it or not is a second question, but they say words that make them seem like big believers. It's all in the hands of the Creator. Non-Jewish people also believe in the Creator. So that explains this very interesting. He says that Munde from Goyim is found through Teva. And this is something foundationally different. The way we didn't have a Munna, and we're going to have a Munna. And I want to take a minute. I'll tell you a story. I shared this thought by one of the classes in the Shabbat Tochum. And somebody told me the following story that he experienced many years ago. There was Goyim they prepared stones. I remember, some of you maybe remember this. They prepared stones by the Kaisel, that Eden came to daven by the Kaisel. The thousands of stones they threw down to hurt the Eden. Hundreds of stones. There was a lot of stones, and they threw stones down. The Pella is, the miracle is that not one Eid got hurt. There was a Goyish reporter then, as this person gave me over the information, I don't remember this, but I gave me over, there was a guy called Peter Jennings. And this guy was a reporter. He came running to the Kaisel, and he interviewed the rabbi by the Kaisel. And he asked him, how is it possible to throw down hundreds of thousands of rocks to thousands of people downstairs on the bottom of the Kaisel, and nobody's got hurt? So the rabbi said it was a miracle. It was a big miracle. So he says, I understand. Peter Jennings says to him, I understand it was a miracle, but how did it happen? So he gets a second time. The rabbi keeps on saying, it's a miracle. It was a nest. They just made a nest. They threw down stones. It didn't hurt him. We just experienced a nest. 350 missiles got thrown at Israel. Not one missile came to hurt the Yid. It's a nest. So the guy asked Peter Jennings, I understand it was a miracle, but how was it done? The guy, here's the point. The guy, he finds the Eibishter through Teva. He finds it through Teva. He sees the world. An honest person, it's impossible, an honest person to make a mistake and to think that the world happened by itself. So it comes to realization, there must be a creator. But his creator is a creator of a world that exists. His creator, he sees a world, the world exists. And it was a Matthias. And the world has laws of nature. The one who made all these laws of nature, he realizes, is somebody above, somebody, a creator. But since he came to realize this creator through nature, by him, he even when he does believe in the God, it's a God that he wants to understand how God works. He has to understand how God works. He sees a miracle. So Peter Jennings gets the rabbi there three times. He says, there was a miracle, the rabbi says. So the rabbi says it was a miracle. And he wants to know, but how does it work? So it sounds funny. To us, even it sounds funny because to us, a miracle is natural. Hashem took us out of his time with miracles. To us, a miracle is natural. But to Peter Jennings, a miracle is not natural. To Peter Jennings, the world is a Metzius. So even when he sees a miracle, he wants to understand how it works. And this you see constantly, the same thing. How does a Yid find the Eibishter? A Yid finds the Eibishter differently. A Yid finds the Eibishter dafka through his neshama, through Amunna. A Yid believes in the Eibishter as he exists, hiding the whole creation. The whole creation is a dibur. The whole creation was created by 10 utterances. It's insignificant, it's meaningless, it's nothing. There is no creation. The only existence is Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The only existence that does exist is Eibishter. So Vakert, by a Yid, his Amunna is Eibishter exists for Pshitas. And if he sees the world, he wants to know how the world exists. And even when he sees Teva, he sees the Eibishter in Teva. By a Goy, even when he sees a Nas, what does he see? He sees Teva. He wants to at least explain it in Teva. He wants to understand how does this work. And by a Yid, when he sees Teva, he wants to see the Eibishter, that there must be something higher than the Eibishter that's created the whole thing. So this is where we're at. When we're going to the Seder Monday night, we're going to the Seder, we're sitting down by a table. What do we want from the whole thing? We have a few. We're preparing here for days and for weeks, and we're cleaning out every piece of chametz, because the chametz is the arch enemy of matzah. Chametz is metzias. Chametz is a feeling of self. So chametz blows itself up to be a mitzvah. That's not it. Like the world blows itself up to an existence that doesn't really exist. The Yitzhara is the Seisha B'Issa. It blows up the bittul of a yid. A yid knows that yid naturally is naturally inclined, naturally has the koyach to realize there's an Eibishter. The only thing that exists is Eibishter. And therefore, when he takes a knee in Yeshua, by him it can happen with tevas are good, if not tevas right to good. If you learn shara b'tochem, you take a see. If even if you're doing a thing in teva, he doesn't depend on teva. He depends on Eibishter, and Eibishter is in teva. And that how our whole the whole beginning of our nation begins with nisim v'neflois. The Yetzias Mitzrayim is the beginning of the latest Am Yisrael when the Klai Yisrael became a nation. So this here is again how this is explained in beautiful way to understand what we're doing Monday night. The Pesach is called three names. Pesach is called Chag HaMatzis. Pesach is called Zman Cheiruseinu, and Pesach is called Pesach. Interestingly enough, we all adopted the word Pesach. But let's start off. Matzis means Chag HaMatzis, the way a person can go out from becoming, if a person is in his limitations, a person is in Mitzrayim. He finds himself below in a bunch of constraints, plagued and tortured by a pari, physically or mentally or emotionally. And he wants to free himself. So the first thing the Torah teaches us, the first thing you have to do is you have to have the quality of a matzah. What's a matzah? A matzah is bittul. A matzah is bittul. Matzah means no, to put yourself on the side. This is not about me. I'm just a creation. I nullify myself to Hashem. Yes, that's very important. Together with the understanding of Ava, we start out with Yira. A person needs Ava Hashem, Yira Hashem. Yiras Hashem is bittul. If a Talmud, if a student is sitting in front of his teacher, and the teacher is a tremendous, wants to give over to the student a tremendous idea that's way beyond his scope, way beyond his ability to grasp something, the Talmud has to put all sorts on the side and listen. Well, Pashut, he has to be a matzah. So before we begin this journey out of Mitzrayim, the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzis. Chag HaMatzis means the way we're going to go out into freedom is we have to be a matzah. We have to have that bittul. We have to realize that the thinking about to put ourselves on the side and we're not the metzias, not like the goy who starts out thinking, I'm a metzias and how the Eibishter affect me. There's only Eibishter. That's matzis. Once I want to be called from the Eibishter. That's a munna from a yid. Then you have so then you have the chedus. You can leave behind. The teacher will teach you how to pick yourself up and how to understand things that are way beyond your limitations. Take you out of Mitzrayim. Before you thought you were limited so much. By learning Torah, by doing mitzvahs, you learn how to pick yourself up and go out of your limitations. And that's when you reach the Pesach. Pesach means the ability to jump away from your constrained self and become a free person totally. And that's how all these three names merge together into one beautiful, harmonious. We start out with a matzah. We have to start out with a bittul, and and that's how we put the matzahs on the bottom. Bittul does not mean you become nothing. Fakert. One matzah is called a koyin, or one matzah is called a levi, or one matzah is called a yisrael, because every single person has to know his milus. If he was born a koyin, he's a koyin. If he was born a levi, he's a levi, and he's not a yisrael. And he's born in Israel, and the Israel is stuck on the bottom. But he holds the whole thing up, and the king is on top, because Eibishter wants to be on top, and the Levi is in the middle. So the bittul does not mean you become a stepping, a door step to step on. Bittul means faker, but the bittul, you have the greatest strength you can have, and for whatever reason. Pesach is a time of chinuch. And there's so much to talk about. I'm trying to put it all together in 1 hour, but there's so much to talk about. Chinuch, today's children, the chinuch has come to a point where it has to be an honest discussion of what's going on with the chinuch. Why is it that our children today was my father, Alav HaShalom, Tess and Nissan? And the amazing thing is my father, Alav HaShalom, didn't go to yeshiva. He had teachers in Neville. He lived in Kamis, Russia. He was harassed and had never an easy life because he was a Jew. Arguably, He could have thought maybe being a Jew, maybe being not being so religious, maybe it would have made him easier. But he was a maimon b'mona pshuta, and he came out of Russia, and he came to France, and France came to America. And Baruch Hashem, he is a family. And Baruch Hashem, maminim. One could learn more, one could learn less. But maminim. Why is it that our parents were able to give over to our children in a difficult time? The 60s and 70s were not easy times. I was a product in those days. It was right after the war. And Baruch Hashem, he was able to. Why is it that today, or not why is it? Let's forget the questions. What is the secret? What did our parents teach us that we should start teaching ourselves and teach our children? That's you're going to find in the Seder, all the ingredients that our parents were successful with is the Seder. This is the first thing we came into, come into a Seder, and everybody worked very hard for the Seder. I'm going to sit down in a matter of 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, however you say this is going to be. But that's the whole focus. And in that Seder, we're going to teach the children lessons that will last them forever. And those lessons come in a very interesting way. In 15 parts, Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, some seem to be very significant, some seem to be totally insignificant. Each one is made to be the most important thing that can be. And that's precisely the Maharil writes that everything during the Seder has to be kept with utmost care, because there's nothing here that's insignificant. And that's the message to our kids. When the Eden are doing something, there's absolutely nothing insignificant. And that's the Emunah. That's the matzah. That's the bittul. We walk into the Seder with a bittul. We have a lot to say. We learn a lot. We can discuss a lot. A lot of logic. But we're not building our Seder on logic. Not that we don't have logic. We have a lot of logic. We're building our Seder on the experience I want to read to you from the Kuzri. I think this is an amazing Kuzri to bring at this point. And if you want to open up a Kuzri, it's one of the Rishenim, Paraviyuda Alevi. Right away in the Maimon edition, there's a lot of, I have the Feldheim edition, there's a lot of different editions here. It has an English also. And if you're on that one, it's on page 96. I'll give the pages alone. The Kuzri, I want to bring out for this person of Amunda, when the Kuzri, the king of the Khazarim, are speaking to Rabbi. And he asks, and he, after speaking to philosophers, and after speaking to the Christians, and after speaking to the Muslims, he has no choice. He sees everybody's coming back. Everybody's coming back to the Jew. So he asks him, who do you believe in? So he says, I believe in the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He gets very angry at him. He says, I thought you'll say that you believe in the Creator. Somebody is bigger, somebody can do everything. Why are you telling me Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So he says to him, anybody can say that. Anybody can say they believe in the Creator. And philosophers and all logical arguments. I am telling you I'm a Yid because I have a Meseder. I come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I have a Meseder for my parents. I have a Meseder where they lived. Everybody in the Mishnah, Rabbeinu came to a party. He said, I'm coming from the God of Ramesh Yaakov. Everybody knew that the Eden had a close connection with the Eberishto, who was connected with them, and who showed them miracles and protected them. And that's a religion that's based on experience. This is what we want to teach our children. We're Eden on experience. We're not just philosophers here. We're not have a good speaker. You hear this speaker, that speaker. We are Yidden that come from experience. The Yidden were the weakest ones. They were slaves in Mitzrayim. The strong ones were the Canaanim in Eretz Yisrael. Pari was a mighty king. Hashem sends Moshe and Aaron, but not what they have. And with 10 makas, Hashem showed Pari that he is the master of everything. He controls earth, he controls animals, he controls people. Everything is under his universe. And all the Yidden are watching this. We experience this. He says a very interesting point. He says, other religions start out as a building up a base, talking, getting more followers on the website, more followers on whatever they call it, on the status, right? But when by Eden, it happened like in a godly way. It happened with one shot. David revealed himself, and that was it. Moshe and Aaron came to Pare, and all Eden saw Mitamol, the mighty Pare that nobody can break. 10 Nachmakas. David takes him out with Nisim. We all experience this. This is not a story of a logic. This is a story of a mood. We experience this power, this power. We came to the Yamsuf, and the Yamsuf split. And the Yamsuf was a deep ocean enough to drown the whole army. And there was real horses and real soldiers that died. And there was a Bezus Hayam that we took with us. All these things, I think we experienced. Hashem fed us in the month. This guy goes to the whole thing. He brought us to Har Sinai. And Har Sinai, in front of the whole nation, in front of millions of people, Hashem reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, to all the Yidden, and says, "Nech Hashem lekecha," but not Hashem Barash Shemayim Vodas, and I created the world. I'm the God who took you out of Mitzrayim. I'm the Abish, the one you experience, the one who you know, the one who you see. And this is the type of conversation we have to have with the children Monday night, when we sit down by the Seder, and Be'ez Hashem B'Mashiach Tzidkenu Yerushalayim. This should be the conversation. A lot of times in preparation for the Seder, there's a lot of Taters people learn, and this Tater and that Tater, and beautiful Taters. That's why they sat a whole night in Bnei Brak and talked until Alesha Shachar. But if you have Maggid for 45 minutes or 40 minutes or 2 hours, whatever your Maggid is going to look like, you have a limited time. What's the message you want to give over to your children? That you, I'm a Yid, that I experienced Yiddishkeit as my father experienced. I believe in the Eibishter of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We experience the Eibishter. We see the Eibishter. Not, of course, we explain it logically also. And that is the end of Matzah. And that's the end of Cheres. That's real Cheres. Cheres is when you connect to the one who is infinite. What's Cheres? Cheres is freedom. Who can say they're free? Everybody has their own habitual behaviors. Everybody has their own stresses. Everybody has their own things that bother them. Everybody has their own limitations, what they can and cannot do. In a big way, in a small way. I was in a place called prison. And in prison, I was able to feel Cheres. Not because I'm a wise guy. Because when a Yid is bitl, when a Yid has a matzah, and he connects himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that's real cheres. That's the power of Mitzrayim. David took us out of Mitzrayim, and he brought us to Har Sinai, because Har Sinai is a connection with Mitzrayim. David took us out of Mitzrayim to go to Har Sinai, because that's how we became really bnei cheres. There's two parts of this evening. Let's go now. So on the Seder, there's two parts of the Seder. One part of the Seder is remembering the way we got out of Mitzrayim. The second part of it is that we became a free nation. So I want to move on in the Haggadah. I want to move on to the Haggadah, and I want to talk about the first thing we say, that Heilach Abodah in Maggid. Maggid is saying Abodah Meyinu part of Mitzrayim. Actually, before that, we also talk about the matzah in the right beginning of the Maggid. Interestingly enough, we talk about Heilach Mayim. So what do we establish? We establish that the mitzvah of the night of Monday night is to talk about the Nisim and the Flois that Hashem took as a Rambam. That we, the mitzvah, I say, to talk about Nisim and Flois took as a Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah to talk to our children, and to talk to our children in a way that we are in, how do you say, back and forth. There are questions and answers. He has to ask questions and answers. That's to become alive. This is the bread of Anias that my parents ate in Mitzrayim. So the question everybody asks, there's little shame, is hey, we say hey lach ma'anya, we're pointing to the lachamani of the matzah. We're saying this is the matzah that we ate in Mitzrayim. But let me tell you something. At the end of the Haggadah, when we finish the Haggadah, we say matzah zu sha'onu eichel mashum bo. This matzah that we ate, why do we eat the matzah? Look at the Haggadah. You say, if we eat them, why do we eat the matzah? We're pointing to the matzah. Why we eat the matzah? Because we're going to slaves in Mitzrayim? No. We eat the matzah because the Hashem told us to leave Mitzrayim. He rushed aside of the so fast that matzah couldn't become chametz. So what's going on over here? Why are we saying, hey, lach ma'anya da'chol ha'vasona ba'ar de Mitzrayim? We didn't even eat it. We ate it outside Mitzrayim. So one of the answers I learned is like this. When we come into a seder, and the Nor Kakash is, if we're inviting people into the Seder, why are we doing it around the Seder table? We have to invite people before. You have to put out there that whoever comes, wants to come to the Seder, come to the Seder. Baruch Hashem, everybody has people calling them and getting invited for the Seder table. What are you inviting people to the Seder table? Everybody asks this question. So the explanation is given like this, that when we start to say that there's a fundamental question that everybody has to have, and the child also, he walks into the Seder table, he's a Seder, the Seder table set up like Bnei Chayim, and we're still in Golos. And the question that the question in the room is, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem does us perfect. Hashem freed us and made us a free nation. Why in the world are we still in Golos? How did Golos start again? What happened here? Why are we constantly fighting this Golos until Mashiach comes? There will be no more Golos. So this is what, right in the beginning of the Maggid, the Baal HaGadol is telling us, Hey lach ma'ayin d'achol ha'vason v'arad Mitzrayim. We all know that the matzah we eat tonight is because of the matzah we ate outside Mitzrayim. When we talked about Shalish Mitzekes HaVasin Lachmitz, it didn't get a chance to be Chometz. And we ate the matzah. That's why we're eating the matzah tonight. We know that, right? But what happened was when the Eden, the Baal HaGadol is telling us, Hey lach ma'ayin d'achol ha'vason Mitzrayim, that we, even though we ate the matzah outside Mitzrayim, there was a part of us, there was a part of Eden that was still in Mitzrayim. That, I mean, the question is, if Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, how in the world are we still in the Golos? Why in the world do we still have to get rid of us of Yetzer Hara? Why in the world do we still have to talk about getting rid of our limitations? And here's why, the answer right here. Because even if the Abish took us out of Mitzrayim, we didn't totally leave Mitzrayim. We didn't totally leave Mitzrayim. There was a part of the Yiddish thinking that was still, they couldn't get rid of that feeling that they have a master called Pari. They didn't get rid of that feeling that there's a Chochmah Bagoyim over there. There's a Chochmah. They were going to get Chochmah Leki and they were still busy with Chochmah Bagoyim. They didn't feel that the idea of going away from God, from like we said before, the whole 15, 20 minutes that we started, we're talking about Amunah being higher than the whole thing. We have a chance to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chochmah Leki, and there's still that desire to understand how, Peter Jennings, how does this, I understand there was a miracle, but how did this happen? So that's where all, so since the Eibush had to rush us out of there because of Chas V'Shalom, we were still there, who knows what would have happened. But since we were talking about that, we weren't ready to be totally rid of Mitzrayim, so that's why we're still never going to go. And that's why we have we're talking about making a Seder table, we're making a Seder table, and start to say L'shot Nabav V'Shalayim. We still have to deal with the Ben Rosha. We still have to deal with situations that we would not have had to deal with had we ourselves gotten rid of ourselves from all Mitzrayim, all limitations. If we would see the power that we really have, the real who we are, then we would be out of Mitzrayim and Gansel. So this is it. As Mitzrayim was the Hachana, was the preparation to go to Matan Torah, so too is the whole goal of the preparation for Yemei Samashiach, as the Rambam writes. You may say, Mashiach, with your time, there will be no more Ra, no more Yetzer Hara, there will be no more. And all the balance, because we have worked it through over 2,000 years in Golos. We have proven, we even have proven, that in every scenario there is, in every situation there is, they want to make you think that if you go through a difficulty, it's a trauma. It's not true. A difficulty, the meaning from Golos is not for trauma. The end of Golos is for us to show the Eibishter that we will do a mitzvah Mesiras Nefesh. That means even when, Kabbalah says, even when we don't understand, and we don't feel, and we don't have the Gilui or the Kos, we don't have the revelations that we had in times of the Beis Hamikdash, the Gashmis, we are living in a world of darkness, and we're still doing the Eibishter wants. We still have a Munna, we still have a Betochen. So we're forcing the Gashmis to recognize Hashem also, and that's exactly what has to happen. That's to make it sure that we have been totally out of Mitzrayim. So here's so this is the beginning, and that's the second stanza is Avodah B'Yidu Parah Mitzrayim, and we say if our Eibush did not take us out of Mitzrayim, we will still be slaves to Parah Mitzrayim. Why? This is a question actually personally. Being that God as a young boy, I wonder what it, you read stories about different countries having a king for so many years and you throw him over. The Baal HaGadol says quite simply, if the Eibishter did not take us out of Mitzrayim, then Anu Baneinu we would still be Meshuv to part of Mitzrayim. Why is that? Maybe a different country will overthrow Pari. Maybe Pari himself was got another king will stand up. Where did he say if the Abish didn't take us out? And that's precisely what we're saying until now, the same Nakuda. Hashem didn't just take us out of Mitzrayim and free us from being slaves. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and made us a free nation. And because he made us a free nation, we can never be slaves again. We can not never be slaves again. And that's why, because they took us out of Mitzrayim, there can never come somebody who's going to enslave us. He has to know, and this is how we start our God, where he has to know that he has a neshama. And the neshama was given to every single year, and we became Amar Nifcha, became David's nation by Har Sinai. And from then on, with the Abish's nation, nobody can ever enslave us. You can be thrown to prison. You can be thrown to Golos. But all of this is not going to make you a slave anymore. If the freedom would have happened from a human effort, if it would have been a logical coping mechanism, if it would have been like a logical aspect to take us out of our limitations, they could come a different problem and undo the whole thing. But when we get our freedom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when our freedom comes to Abish, then the Abish frees us. There's nothing that can slave us again. And that's what we're saying over here. And then we continue right then. I want to move on to the aspect of last year we spoke about this, but this is an important nekuda about where do you get the koyach? How many times I speak to people and the question, the overriding question is, I understand what you're saying, but where do we have the koyach? Where do you have the strength to overcome the challenges of today's day? So look at this story. Again, this is not, none of this is mine. It's all from Agoda, from what I learned in Agoda from the Rebbe. And he said like this, Maisa ben Rebbe Lozer ben Yeshua, ben Rebbe Lozer ben Azayim, ben Bekir ben Tarfin. He says that, Ari Aniki ben Shivim Shona, ben Zechish Tam, 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 So the question is, Rabbi Lozer ben Azayi is saying, I look like I'm 70, I'm really only 18. That's the story of the Gemara is that Rabbi Lozer ben Azayi was very young, was a big chacham, and when they needed a nasi, they wanted to make him a nasi. But he's only 18, he didn't look. He went home, he spoke to his wife said, how you can be a nasi? You look like you're a young man. So the Eibishter made a nest, and he had 18, he got white strands in his beard, and then he looked like he was 70. So what's he saying over here? I look like I'm 70, and I didn't, and I wasn't zeichet to understand how you from where can I prove that you speak of going to Mitzrayim even at night. So the question is, he's only 18. That's what he doesn't know. He says, "I look like I'm 70." He makes it sound like he's surprised. Surprised. I can't imagine how I look like I'm 70. Because he looks like he's 70. If you were 70, you would know. You'd be a chacham enough. So what's the answer? The answer is, and this is brought in Sfarim, that Rabbi Lozer ben Azayi was a gilgul, was a neshama, an extension of Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi was 52 when he passed away. And he, Rabbi Lozer ben Azayi was 18, and he knew it. So he knew he had the koyach of Shmuel HaNavi also along with him. So that's what he said. My keiches and the keiches of Shmuel HaNavi put it together 70. That's why I can look like 70. But him was clear. And that's why I'm surprised. I don't know because I have my keiches and the keiches also my father. We spoke before that we have to come to the Seder. We don't just believe in the Eibishter because from logical arguments. We believe the Eibishter because our keiches are Mishka V'Yakiv. Is that David says, I wish that from a personal connection with David, from my family. So he says to everybody, I'm surprised. How come I don't know it? What's the lesson? The lesson is a very good one. When a person goes through a challenge, emunah means that you have maimon that whatever you're going through is coming from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're in Mitzrayim, it's from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose is not to beat you up, the purpose is to head on to Har Sinai. We're in Golos, it's not to beat us up, it's to get our head on to Yemei HaMashiach. But you're sitting in darkness and you're talking about we don't have the keiches to overcome the challenge. And the answer is what the God is teaching us that you can dig a little deeper. Every single person has a neshama that comes from a previous neshama. And if you take the keiches, like a Muslim in Isaiah did, he took his keiches and he took the keiches from his previous one, from Shmuel HaNavi, and he told him, and he says, we should know that we have more koich, we have more strength than we really imagine we have. The Yitzhara is trying to tell us we don't have enough koich. But the truth is that we have a koich from ourselves. We also have the koich from the neshama previously. Again, we have to right away answer another question. But if we're relying on the neshama from the previous Gilgal, So maybe the previous Gilgal did something which was terrible, and maybe he'll pull you down. So the answer is that we know that in the Sharma, if the most a person can go through Gehenna is 11 months, and hopefully faster. That means after 11 months, everything is cleaned up. So the point is that because we have our keich, we have the keich from the previous, all the Neshamas back, all the way back to Har Sinai, are with us, helping us to overcome, like the marshal is like a small person on top of shoulders of a giant, and a dwarf on top of a giant. But you have the keich from all previous generations. The previous generation may have done things that are no good, but those things are gone. Those things are very chaper of them, and the mela. We have the keich to do it, and that's one of the answers. Then we move on in the Haggadah. We move on to the Inyan of Chinuch, and in the Inyan of Chinuch, obviously we're going to sit again with the whole discussion. I hope everybody's going to do that by the Seder table. But in the limited time we have here, look at this. The Seder tells us there's four types of children: Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shidei in the Elishim. There's four types of children. So if a person, and that's it. Now there's a fifth child that said that doesn't come to the table, but that's regarding the one who didn't come. But sitting by the table of four, the Abish is speaking to four types of children. There can be a wise child, and there can be a rasha, a child that has a big etzahara. There could be a child of the tam. There could be a child of a shendishal. But to every single one, Taylor talks to this whole idea. And I'm not sure how this became part of a conversation is beyond me. But the whole idea that a person can say with a full mouth that in this area Teda doesn't talk to is Chas V'Shalom. As there's no place in the world that David doesn't exist. David exists all over. There's nothing in the world that Teda does not discuss. There's nothing in the world that Teda doesn't teach us how to deal with. There's nothing in this world that Teda doesn't help us elevate it and help us. So whichever child we have, which any of these four categories are four categories of children, we have to know that the Teda gives us an answer. We have to understand how to develop it. And if the 3,000 years of Har Sinai, we have great mechanchim, but the development of our chinuch comes from Teda. How to understand ourselves, how to understand the world. This is the Seder night. How do we understand ourselves? Hashem made us, Hashem gave birth, we became birth as a nation. The same way we give birth as a nation, chinuch starts from birth. We have to rightly understand where's the chinuch come from the Eibishter. And the Eibishter is teaching us, if you're a chacham, what's the chacham busy with? The chacham is someone, very briefly, the chacham is someone who asks, Moha Eidus, Chokim HaMishpatim. What is he asking, Moha Eidus? If he's a chacham, but he doesn't understand what Eidus, Chokim HaMishpatim. The chacham is asking, why do I have to make a difference between Eidus, Chokim HaMishpatim? Why do I have to say there's mitzvahs, and mishpatim are mitzvahs that I understand, that I would do it even if the Eibishter didn't tell me. Chokim are mitzvahs that I only can do because the Eibishter told me I don't understand. It is a mitzvah that I remember. Once Hashem told me, I could understand it. The Chokim is very given over. He's a very devout child. And he's full of ruchnias. And what he wants to do is he wants to get close to Hashem. So he says, why can't I just do the mitzvah? Hashem wants to do a mitzvah. Why do I have to get in? Because every mitzvah has two parts. So every mitzvah has the doing of the mitzvah. And every mitzvah has to have the kavanas of mitzvah. I have to understand this mitzvah I'm doing. I can understand it also. I'm doing, Hashem wants me to do the mitzvah, but I have to understand it. This mitzvah I have to do because Hashem wants to do the mitzvah. And this mitzvah I do because I have to remember. What I have to get into that? Why can't I just do the mitzvah? That's one of the explanations what the Chacham is asking. So what's the answer? The answer is, that even if after we eat the Korban Pesach, we eat the Korban Pesach not for eating, not for enjoyment. We eat it because Eibishter wants us to eat it. Allah Seva, right? On the other hand, there has to be the taste of the Korban Pesach has to stay with us. We can't eat anything after Pesach, which means in English, means that yes, we have to do a mitzvah because Hashem wants to do the mitzvah, but we have to have the good taste of the mitzvah. We have to learn how to enjoy a mitzvah. We have to learn how to be able to really, really live with the mitzvah, to enjoy it. To get a high from it. And you can do it. You have to learn those in Yonam to explain, to understand the beauty of each mitzvah. And that's the question. It's a chacham wants to do it. It's not enough to say, I'm doing the mitzvah, Hashem wants to do the mitzvah. Hashem says, no. After you finish the Korban Pesach, the taste of Pesach should be by you. The Rosh obviously is a child who's fighting back. The only virtue you can say is that he's fighting you. You answer him. So if you learn the answers, there's answers they give him. And if he thinks he has teeth in order to bite, you will not have his teeth because there's an answer to every question. The tam, absolutely, you can talk to a tam. Now the Shein Delishel is a child at the end of does not answer a question. Most machzerim that I've seen, the picture of the Shein Delishel is a little baby in a crib, whatever, in a high chair. So the question is why is the Shein Delishel at the end of the whole thing? Why can't the Shein Delishel be after the chacham? Why is the Rav should be at the end? Why is Shein Delishel at the end? And again, the answer is a beautiful answer given like this. The Shein Delishel is not necessarily a child who is a little baby. The Shein Delishel is not necessarily a child who has no weight, who is a little so young he can't ask a question. The Shein Delishel could be a child who has no questions because he has no interest in what's going on. He's sitting right at the table, and everybody should think a second. Who this is talking to? A person can be sitting by the table, and he wants to be somewhere else. He's sitting by the table, and he's doing everything. Every single day, he gets up in the morning, goes to daven, puts on film. But he has no questions. Why doesn't he have questions? He doesn't have questions because he's not interested, and that's why he's stuck at the end. And this again is a very, very fundamental lesson that we're learning over here. That you have to know. You have to know that you have to have a chayas to at least the Russia is fighting back. He's asking a question. Why? There. Then it's easier. If you're dealing with a child, he has no questions. It's the hardest child to deal with. But don't despair and don't think that you can't talk to a child that's in the illusion. Even the child says, Shein Delishel is at Psachle. You could open him up. Open him up. How can you open him up? Because if you know you're talking to a Yiddish child, he has an neshama. And you know you're talking to somebody who is receiving and is a good recipient of it. So talk to him Yiddish language. Talk to him about Eibishter. Talk to him, like we said before, from the Kuzri. I wish I could learn more from it. Talk to him about in Yonim that can speak to his neshama. Awake his neshama. And then you'll see him wake up. There's a difference, doesn't come because he doesn't want to know. The difference because nobody's spoken to him. Speak to him like he is, and you'll see that you could open him up. Then we have another going on weiter in the Haggadah, which we're learning from Yonim, how to learn B'tochim. And from the Haggadah, and here's Haggadah teaching about Chinuch. Very important. You can have B'tochim in your child, because your child, even the Rasha, who's fighting you, he's not the worst guy. Another explanation, why is the Rasha come after the Chacham? Because the Rasha is the one who can deal with the Rasha is the Chacham. So you have to learn. But the Shein Delishel was seemingly one of the hardest jobs of our generation. We're speaking to seemingly people that they'll tell you, Shein Delishel, he has no questions. Why does he have a question? He's not interested. So you're not interested? So you're going to start giving him other things? No. At Psachle, open him up by a Seder. Talk to him like a year. Talk to him as a neshama. And that's how you can open him up. Understand who you're talking to and open him up that way itself. This is one of the success stories that I've seen since from a long time about and this nakuda about being know what chedus really means. It's also explanation given about what chedus really means. Chedus means being yourself. Chedus does not mean being somebody else. And the marshal given to this is if you have a tree is happy if it's planted in one place. With sunlight and water, but take the same thing that makes a tree happy. You give him sunlight and give him water, he will be and give it to an animal, and he'll be the most unhappy person in the world, animal in the world. Why? Because he has nefesh achaya. Why? How come the tree is happy? Because the tree has only a lower quality of life, but a high quality of life. An animal has a nefesh achaya. It has the ability to move around. Take a person and give him the what makes an animal happy, and give him food and drink of water, but don't let him use a seichel. Don't let him reveal. Don't let him express the power of intelligence that he has. He'll further be a very miserable person. And you see this very clearly in the United States of America, or the whole world for that matter, where the whole emphasis on happiness has turned into become another taiva, another physical giving, another food, another pleasure, another movement, another go here, go there. You can go out to the moon, you can go here. You can fly to Mars if you want to go soon. Whatever they're talking about, But that doesn't speak to the nefesh ha'maskelus, and that's why you see such a tremendous level of dissatisfaction. Very simple, because there's a part of the humanity, a part of the human beings, that not being told about, not allowing to express the seichel, even a non-Jewish person express seichel. But now take this same idea and move it on to the next level of being. Ayid is a neshama, has a neshama. When we recognize, and that's why I put such emphasis in today's class about who are we? Start out asking yourself, who are? What makes me a Yid? I'm a Ben Avraham Yisrael Yaakov. I have a neshama. The kind of neshama should be tehiri. I have a neshama. The neshama is chedek al kamal mamish. That's who I am. It's impossible to be happy. It's impossible for you to be happy if he doesn't allow his neshama to express itself. A yid without neshama, without tehiri mitzvahs, how do you express the neshama? To living tehiri, doing mitzvahs. If a yid is going to be squashed and will not allow him to move and express his neshama, you can feed, you can give him all the seichel, you can give him all the food, all the pleasure running around. He's not gonna. It's the same way an animal will never be able to be happy if you gave him the food of a tree. The same way yid can never be happy. And that's what chedus really means. Chedus means that you are being yourself, who you really are. And that's why the seder table is so important. Here, this is where we started out. Am Yisrael got born by Yitzis Mitzrayim. This is who we are. And so if we want to have a chedusdik life, the start of the matzah, then we get ma chedusenu, and then finally Pesach, because it's able to go and beyond our ability, around our limitations, and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because when we learn Tehillim Mitzvahs, we're connecting with Eibush, which creation can say that they are connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. And this is, so what are we doing in Golos? So he says over here, Vayed Mitzrayim Olot Tzapi Adibur. Very important to quote here. Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim. He did not come to Mitzrayim to settle there, to build big houses, build. He came there, he says, Onos Tzapi Adibur. He came there, he was forced to go there. A Yid has to know that with all the advantages that we are taught about being what we can accomplish in this world in times of Golos, and about how we can be mamshich the Shechina, how we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most deepest and strong way in Golos, and it even says that when it comes Mashiach times, we'll yearn for the times of Golos. People ask me if I yearn to the times when I was in the physical prison. Honest appear deeper. If you are in a place called prison, you have to remember your honors. You're forced to be there. So then you can want to be connected to the Eibush, the Tehillim Mitzvahs. You can reach the higher spiritual highs as you're going through a challenge in life. But chas v'sholom for a person to say, if that's the case, he wants to be in Golos. He wants to be with the problem. Fakert, he has to realize this, that he has a job to do, get the job done, and to get out of it. The next lesson is Vanitzik Hashem Bekei Aviseinu, that we cry out to the Eibush, the Eibush Hashem is clear, the Eibush heard out Tfilis, Vayaras on Yenu Vesamolenu V'lachaseinu, and he saw our hard work and he saw our pain. And this is something we keep on discussing, at least in our Heal the Heart classes and in our Shabbat Tavon classes all the time, that when we cry to the Eibush there, and the Eibush hears that tefillah, that's the Yeshua in itself. The Yeshua, if you look at the book, but when it's Hashem like ever saying the Bishma Kalinda, Hashem heard it. Yeah, I said, you know, suddenly before it says Hashem didn't see, so to speak, Hashem may believe didn't see. But once Hashem hears that tefillah, we are already helped. This whole idea of crying out to the Eibush there, and to crying out to the Eibush there with that tefillah, and diving to the Eibush there once, if you have to do it twice, like it says in the Gemara and Brachas, if you daven and you weren't answering yet, what should you do? You should daven again. And the Medrash says, if you daven again and again, there is a time you'll be answered. So again, we're sitting by the Seder table, and we're talking about our children, and we're talking to ourselves, and we're saying about davening. We have to know that when we even daven to the Eibush there, if a nitzach and they came out of cry, so the Eibush there answered us, and our tefillahs are answered. And there's never an answer of no. The Eibush there, sometimes it takes a bigger tefillah. Look at all the Eibush sources. There could be a need for a bigger smash through of a gezeira to change the gezeira. But chas v'sholom, to say that there's nowhere that it says chas v'sholom, the Eibush would say no to a tefillah fakert. That the tefillah is a mitzvah asay. The Eibush gives us a mitzvah asay to daven. The Eibush wants us to daven. The Eibush wants us to ask what we need. And when we ask Eibushter, all we need is Eibushter to hear us, and it could also be in a way of Terem Ekrav and the end. It also means before we call out Eibushter in, says also, Eibushter is a Kal Rachm Bacham, Eibushter is a Rachm, the biggest Rachm that can be. And if Eibushter, this is brought down a sermon also, I heard this, and if I bring this, if Eibushter said any other way of doing it, he would have done that way also. So once something happened, we have to accept what happened as being the best thing, coming from Eibushter. But going forward, Eibushter wants us to trust him to get us out of the tzara. And this is, I will tell you a personal story, because it's, there was a one, I don't know, it was the last Pesach, after the time frames, this could have been the last Pesach or the Pesach before. There was a group of prisoners that were part of us, a big sting operation, but they were on the religious side. And went to the yeshiva, and there were five, and they were there for a year or two before the Seder. And there was a few Yidden over there that were getting close to the Yiddishkeit. And I was by the Seder, I wanted to pick up everybody's mood, and not only myself, I was trying to pick up the mood for everybody. And I was telling them how the Eibushter, when the Yidden came into Mitzrayim, they thought they were going to be there for 400 years, because they knew, everyone knew Bizmir Absalim. Bidya Sarah Hashem said they're going to be there 400 years. But Eden, the B'schus HaMunna, B'schus HaMunna, the Eden had that the Eibushter will take us out. Like he says again, because of you also, the Eden never gave up and knew the Eibushter is going to feed them. They never gave up and to think that Pari had a chashav a hold on them. They fakert. They had a B'lachan, and the fact that it was a Kushya Golas, because it was so hard, we're going through a terribly hard Golas ourselves. So that's chus, the Eibushter made it less, and we calculated to the time Yitzchak was born. So the period even would have 210 years. So my argument was, if Eibushter's decree was 400 years, and it went on, and it got caught up shorter, Halachas Kama Vekama. If a human person makes a decree, Halachas Kama Vekama, it could be shortened also. I was trying to get the guys prepped up. There's one of the tzaddikim said that, because of the Vanitzak, we should all get up, we should scream at Eibushter. So I said, Chevron, let's go stand up, and let's scream out to the Eibushter. And ask him to bring us home. It's funny, you know, everybody sitting in the circle, you have to remember, has a sentence. So whatever. The sentence from a human judge, in my case, was 27 years, and I didn't, at that point in time, was nowhere close to that. The two guys on my left side had a sentence of more than 10 times that, and there was five guys on the side that had a sentence of 3 years, but everybody knew that according to Teva, the time to the doors to open weren't there yet. What are we getting up by a Seder and screaming God, the Eibushter, save us? You're stuck. You have a shtempel. If the Eibushter wanted to save you, he could have saved you before the shtempel. Now you have a shtempel with Teva. So how are you getting out? And this is exactly what I told me. He wouldn't get up. The guys in my back wouldn't get up. I said, what's going on? So he said to me, they got the answer. They got the answer. What's the answer? The Eibushter said, no. They were convinced Hashem said no, and therefore then they weren't getting up. They weren't getting up and not making a Vanitzak. They're going, but Shein Delisha, they're going through the motions. We're going through the Seder. Oh, but is there a feeling of Chedus tonight by the Seder? Are we feeling the Eibushter's control? And the same way the Eibushter smashed Pari and took out a whole nation when not even one slave was able to get out of there. Do we believe it? So that's diving the Shem should do it. I do believe it. The amazing part of the story is that Baruch Hashem, I couldn't get him to get up. It was a whole there's a whole discussion, and then later for a day or two it continued. But the Eibushter Baruch Hashem saved me, and the Eibushter Baruch Hashem took me out of Golos way before the 27 years. And the two guys that did get up on my left side also witnessed a Ness, and they were taken also let out 2-3 years later. You're one of the guys that got also a commutation. So here we see the power of a Seder. We're sitting by a Seder. Our Seder is full of Munna. Our Seder is all about a Munna. Our Seder is that we're making a Seder now. We're not remembering only something happened 3,300 some years ago. We call Yem V'Yem. Every single day, you have to remember the Avos every single day. And today we can go out of Golos. We have to remember we can go out of Golos. We can go out. How, when, where? All these questions will be answered later, but that's the animam b'muna shalema. That person has a personal problem. He has a problem, whether it be economics, whether it be health, whether it be shidduch, whether it be anything you have. That's why we're sitting by the Seder table, to remind us and to give us keches for the whole year that we are not on the teva. We are not on the teva. That's the beginning, the middle, the end of the whole story. A yid has nothing to do with teva. A yid is the Eibishter revealed himself to us by Mitzrayim, and he taught us a lesson, and we should listen up. And that's what we said before. Not that we went out of Mitzrayim, wow, look what this happened, and then we're getting back in Mitzrayim. We are yidin that don't have nothing to do with teva. When we cry to the Eibishter, we dive to the Eibishter, we do the Eibishter's will, like I said in Shabbat Tochen, but we do the Eibishter wants, the Eibishter's what we want. How are you going to do it? Does it make sense? And I think, I want to get back to the chinuch. I'll get back to the chinuch a minute. I think here is where we have to emphasize over here. We got so good at explaining the proofs of Yiddishkeit and the beauty. We came to our kids and we're telling them how beautiful Yiddishkeit is and how geschmack it is, and all these wonderful things, which is true. But we have to come to Yiddishkeit not with sad with our logical explanations. We got to come to Yiddishkeit because the Eibishter is Hachem Teva, because the Eibishter took us out of Mitzrayim, the Eibishter brought us out of Sinai, and we have the divine mission in life to bring world, to bring the Eibishter who's higher in Teva and Teva. So if we're going through a difficulty, it's not difficult. Hashem has signed that the Eibishter has abandoned us. The difficulty is precisely faker. That if we go through a difficulty. If you were born to a difficult parent, if you went through a traumatic situation or pain, I would call it a painful situation. If I call it trauma, it's a painful situation. That's not meant to break you. That's the goal of that before your freedom, before you are going to be freed, that's the goal you go through. Believe in the Eibishter, have a moon, the Eibishter is high, the Eibishter can take you out of Golos, talk to the Eibishter, dive into the Eibishter, and you'll see it be taken out of Golos. That's the whole thing of Seder night, and that's the whole thing you should take into the year. But we got so good at explaining everything at Pesachel, because we came to people, you have to explain it at Pesachel also, right? But our foundation is not Seichel. Our foundation is not, he told me, this guy saying over by Peter Jennings, he tells me, imagine after Hanukkah they found oil. They found oil, the Greeks. And they sat down, they see the oil was lasting for 8 days, one day. So the Greek would rather try to find out, they found a new mineral that can last for 8 days. They want to figure out that time. How does this oil work that can last for 8 days? So they look to Michigan there. It's a mess. It's a miracle. It's the fact that that's why I'm here. I want to prove to you that I am not in nature. I want to prove to you that when I talk to my God, Hashem does miracles. That's the point. No, the oil is regular oil, and the Eibishter creates this for 8 days. You haven't found a new area of nature here. And this is constantly, that's when it's like I was saying, though, we cry to the Eibishter changes things. I know I'm running out of time, but everyone wants to stay. I want to continue a few more points on the Haggadah that I think are very important. Negate to what we're doing over here. There's another thing over here, there's a whole argument, how many Makkos was in Mitzrayim? So the basically says it was 10. Rabbi Eliezer says there was actually every makkah was made out of four parts. And Rabbi Akiva says every makkah was made out of five parts. And it works out, the math works out. So if there was 10 Mitzrayim with one finger, by Yom Tov there was 50 makkahs. And if there was every makkah in Mitzrayim was four, that means there was one finger made four makkahs. So four times 10 is 40. There were actually 40 makkahs in Mitzrayim. And if every makkah was made out of five, then it was 50 maximum time, was 5 times 50, 250. Now, obviously, the question is, what's going on over here? What's the machlekes? So, we all know that the world as we see it, as it's combined from four basic components: fire, air, earth, and water. These four components make up everything in the world. If you take a piece of wood and you burn it, you can see the easiest way to see it is the fire goes one way, the smoke is the ruach, the water, the moisture comes out is the mayim, and what's left over, the ashes, is offer. But everything is like that. The Rambam talks about it, and everybody, this is accepted thing. So Rabbi Yisrael Glili, so here's a question, the discussion here about how many makkos was there, the makkos were meant to prove and to break the clip of Mitzrayim. the Makkah was there in order to take out the mitzvah of Tumah with all the Chochmah, it was Tame. And that Tumah, how deep was the Tumah? Was the Tumah just superficial to the creation as it see as it sees now? And therefore, the Makkah had to just hit up the existence of something as it's made up of the four elements. And that's what he basically says. It was one. Well, every Makkah was one, and there was 10 Makkahs, and Yom Tov was 15. Eliezer says that no, the Tumah of Mitzrayim got so deep that not only affected the revealed state of the being, the wood, the stone that had to be smashed, but also down to its core, its four essential foundations of everything that I think is made. So that was also affected by the Tumah of Mitzrayim, and therefore, when the Makkah hit, in order to break it, in order to refine it, in order to bring out that Enim Levadai, you have to not only touch the revealed state of the thing, you have to touch down to the to each one itself also. So that's why it was four. That means it wasn't a Makkah. Each Makkah was like one Makkah, but it hit all four. You say this, and that's why it was four. So what they're talking about, it seems to be like math, but it's not math. It's talking how deep the Tumah hit, and then Rabbi Kiva says, no. The Tumah of Mitzrayim was so deep that it went down to its core. It was called Koyach Hayuli, even before the four, you say, four foundations. There's a Koyach that's even before it has a shape and form. And the Tumah of Mitzrayim hit down so there that we have to uproot the Tumah of Mitzrayim down to its core. And that's why it wasn't one back, it was five, because it hit the four. You say this plus Koyach Hayuli. Now, it sounds kind of abstract. So here's a very practical application of what we're talking about over here. There are different. We see by in the Torah forbids us to take part of different tumas in different ways. So, for example, ichamoyr, a donkey, is a davar atomi. But you're allowed to use a chamoyr to ride on it. That means it's davar atomi. But the tumah didn't go down. Did not go down to the chamoyr on such a deep level. Yes, you can't eat it. But you can sit and ride on it. Actually, you can utilize it for what you need in the Beis Hashem. Sometimes the tumah is more. It comes down where the food where it's also bahano. Now you can't eat it. So then it goes down another level where it takes a bite. You can't eat it. And then sometimes it's so bad the tumah touches something so bad you're not even allowed to have any pleasure from it. Like a vidazora. A vidazora. It's so bad you can't even enjoy, you not have any benefit from it. Because the tumor is so bad, your separation from it has to reach a point. Not only you can't ingest it, now you can't have any enough from it. And then chometz on Pesach is so deep, is you cannot even own it. And this is a wake-up call over here. Sometimes the tumor of the chometz on Pesach, not that you can't ride it. It's not that you can't eat it. It's not only that you can't have enough from it. You can't own it. It can't even be in your rishos. You can't be together with you one place. It has to be totally nullified. And what's chametz? Chametz is a feeling of self. Chametz is a feeling of thinking there's something other than Hashem. Chametz is thinking that there's answers in our life that come from something other than Hashem. And that's what Pesach. That's what the Pesach. The Issa Chometz is so big, they can't even be with you. So that's what Rabbi Kiva is saying. This feeling, the Makkos of the Eibishter Mitzrayim, we had to go down to uproot the Tumah of Mitzrayim. Wasn't enough to hit it up on a superficial way with the way the thing exists in its revealed state of a wood, of a stone, of a person, of an animal. It had to come down not only to the four foundations in its deeper level. It had to come down and destroy the Keir Hayuli. We're today living in a horrible tumah where there is absolutely such to the core how people have taken the tumah not in only in the action, not only in the feelings, to where existence as we know it. Of Teva Ra, a man is not a man, it was a woman, What used to be embarrassing for people wouldn't even say today. You slice straight in your face. The evil that was done to Eden not even 6 months ago, and it's forgotten. That it's not, you're not, to be a Palestinian today is not an embarrassment, as a murderer, as a terrorist, as a modern day Nazi. People that are afraid to say that something against them. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Yidden who have been murdered and looked for death for their extinction, the genocide, mitamol, the tiniest of Yidden. The evil that the Abish is showing is at such a core level like what Rabbi Akiva is talking about, the Kecha Yuli. From one side. On the other side, we see the Tev, we see the good that's coming out. We see the Munda. When I was sitting in the Shabbos, I was sitting with the family before, but the far side, somebody comes on again and tells us that this racket is coming towards the Tzitzro, we all said Tehillim. Of course we all said Tehillim. But the inner core of a Munda that everybody showed, not only in the house, all over, guys, tell Yisroel, how he Leon of Leishashem Yisroel, how the Abish is with us. How we're one with the Abish, that Abish is going to protect us. They can shoot 350 missiles, and that one missile should hit. This has to become an open lesson for us going into Pesach. That we have to reconnect to what we're speaking about, the little that we spoke about, how the Betochen and the Abish there should become strengthened. Sai in the general, as Am Yisroel, and Sai as Protis, the Protestant lives, not to become Subrach and Chas V'Shalom, whoever has their own tzaddis. And to look forward for the Seder night and the preparation for the Seder night. One thing I didn't have in this crazy place called prison was preparation. Interesting. Everybody today was looking to get away from preparation. Everybody running to hotels and stuff. And I earned it. We over there, there was nothing happening. And you went from Chometz, the biggest Chometz the night before, and bang, into the chapel with the folding table for Seder. There was no preparation or nothing. Everything was given to you. Just a side comment. So, but as we were preparing, we were going into the Seder. We have to go into the Seder with these thoughts that we are maminim bnei maminim. Our emuna is not Latin, doesn't come from seichel. Our emuna comes from our core being of our neshama. Our emuna comes from our belief in the Abish that is higher than Teva. The Abish that is, the whole world doesn't exist. What really exists is the Abish that, and that's how we come to into the Seder. And we dive into the Abish that, and we know that we can take this betochen for ourselves and for our children and to teach our children. And not to make the same, and to realize that the reason why we're still fighting a godless, because even when we went out of Mitzrayim, we never let go of the Mitzrayish way of thinking. What was Mitzrayish way of thinking? They had wisdom. The Mitzrayim had a tremendous amount of chokhmah. But their chokhmah was all premised on Teva. And Teva and Hyde and Teva are a contradiction. Chometz and Matzah are a contradiction to each other. You can't tie that you believe in the Abish, the baby Shah, that you're looking for chokhmah from Goyim to try to give you solutions to your problems. Doesn't work. There's enough chokhmah. The only chokhmah you should have, the only understanding you should have, is to understand the neshama for what it is, the Eibishter for who he is, the rachman for that he is, that the protector that he is, that we're higher than Teva. If Teva wants to work alone, it's good. And if Teva doesn't want to work, then Teva has to change. That's the way of a Yid. He's in the world to change Teva. He's not in the world to figure out how Teva works. And that's Pesach. That's how you jump over. That's the leap. That's the jump. We're going out of our limitations. We're going out of our prisons. We're going out of our habits. We're going out. How? Another coping mechanism that will fail as we grow older. We do it by being a zman chag matzah, by being a matzah, being bottled to the Eibishter. Doing his mitzvahs, whoever didn't say you're going to get, you have to say Pesach, Matzah, and Morer. Remember those three words, Pesach, Matzah, and Morer. How do you get to Pesach? Pesach doing more. Doing a hidden mitzvah is not ADD. Hidden mitzvah means a total self-sacrifice to the Eibishter. There's a matzah which is a matzah, and then there is murder, which is the rabbanon nowadays. And through matzah and maror, through a mitzvah, meticulously a mitzvah, and through having maror the rabban meticulously, and doing the ratzon Hashem, so that's how you get to Pesach. That's how you're able to jump over. That's how you connect to the Eibishter, looking for the hidden mitzvah, connect to the Eibishter. And the Eibishter will take us out of Shana Babi Rishalayim, Shol B'Zecha. And this is the way a person could go out of his golos, out of his prison. A person could, even though he was in prison for so many years, if you live this way, you don't get affected by the prison, because you're not even there. Where are you? We were not even there. You were the Eibishter. Where are you? You're a neshama, and you were the Eibishter. And with the Eibishter, you take a Pesach. That's how you jump over. You start off a bittel, and then you feel chedus, and then you have a Pesach. A good Ben Shem, everybody. I hope something was come of this. That you can have a gula shleima of Mashiach that came on now, even before Pesach. You all make a Pesach in Yerushalayim this year. Zagi Benched.